Lancaster with you, Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass. Both of us split a giant cinnamon roll. My goodness, I don't know where it came from. It was good, though.
Our buddy Carlos brought it.
Yeah. Whoa. Is that why we're all wound up here? That's a lot of sugar.
Well, I haven't had a chance to eat mine yet.
Well,
it's been staring me in the off to the side here, looking at me.
Go get it, my friend. Today is Thursday, of course, December 7th, 2023, the 82nd anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Also, today is the launch of Hanukkah. A very happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, part of the Bustos Media Tucson campus. We've got five radio stations under one roof here. This is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for news and talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for all of our podcasts. We'll be coming up on 13 full years of content on that website. We'll launch into year 14 in the first week of January. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for his monthly. Sometimes we have him more than once a month, like we did in November. Steve Kasachek, Democrat, representing Ward Number 6, Councilman Kasachek, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. So you got a little competition with Mona's going on there in your office.
Yeah, I have no idea where it came from, and normally I don't eat food that I don't know where it came from, but it looks so tempting, Steve Kasachek, that I think you would understand.
Well, I do, but I also want to remind you that at the memorial at St. Philip's,
yes,
there was one exhortation, and that was for you to avoid excessive sweets. I remember that.
Oh, my goodness. That is exactly right. Ann's spirit is probably going right now, Bill, you should not be doing that. Uh-huh. Yeah, speaking of Ann's spirit, I'll tell you, I just posted something on my Facebook page about this, Steve, and I think I'd like to share it with the listeners. My birthday is coming up a week from Saturday, December the 16th, and this will be the first birthday without Anne by my side in 56 years. Well, people may say, well, I thought you were just married for 51. Well, we had just started dating. That first birthday while we were at the University of Arizona was a magical night. And Anne was pretty much with me every birthday and for 56 years. So it's going to be very, very strange and already feeling very kind of nostalgic today.
Did you have traditions that you would do?
Well, not really. Just a lot of love that we tried to share, a lot of love, and we did, as you know. But
absolutely,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, you'll be able to reflect, a very reflective day, I'm sure.
Steve, golfers, as you know, can be so passionate, especially about their home turf, their home course. What is this dust up about? I know there's a whole reimagining going on about Reed Park, but how might that impact the courses there?
Well, last night I hosted a meeting here at the Ward 6 office that we had two of our parks people, our parks director and the program manager for the outreach, public outreach for this reimagining. And probably 45 to 50 people in attendance, most of which were golfers, most of whom were golfers. And the concerns are, so what's being proposed is Randolph Golf Complex has two golf courses, two 18-hole golf courses, Randolph North and Del Urich, which is on the south side. What is being proposed is to cut a walking path. The width of it is to be determined, but call it 100 yards, just to pick a number, 100 yards wide, between the two courses, to connect Alvernon with the middle of Reed Park, called Randolph Way, where High Corbett Field is located. Golfers have concerns about the ability to create a championship quality course with a smaller footprint. They have concerns about liability, about people being injured if they're walking or jogging through in between two golf courses. Several different concerns like such as that. Another part of the proposal, though, is to there's a walking path that surround that goes all the way around Randolph Park and the David Bell Path. And some of the another part of the proposal is to bring that in away from the streets, away from Alvernon, away from Broadway, and away from 22nd, so that walkers and joggers aren't immediately and bikers aren't immediately adjacent to the traffic, which everybody supports. I mean, that everybody in the room was very supportive of that. The challenge is they don't want to see us bisect the golf courses with this walking path. I have a larger, not a larger, but I have another problem that I think just preempts that whole discussion, and that is that if you're standing on Alvernon looking at the driving range or looking at Del Yura Golf Course, you can't help but notice that there are big indentations, big basins. It's a huge water detention basin. And it was built by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers with the cooperation and the funding, helping the funding and design of civil engineering companies and the Pima County Flood Control District. The purpose of that detention basin, the purpose of the of Del Yura Golf Course, essentially the way it is to prevent flooding of homes and businesses downstream. That's a lot of Midtown, it's Colonial Solana, it's downtown. And so if we are to change the topography of what's happening on Del Yura, then we're going to have to go through a very extensive process that the city has not considered yet. And that would involve Army Corps of Engineers. It would involve Pima County Flood Control District. Just the civil engineering and the study and the design is going to be extremely expensive and time-consuming, probably years. So I think that we're a little bit out over our skis prematurely on this idea. I would prefer to see if we're going to spend the money to go through this whole notion of redesigning Del Yura, going through the civil engineering and all that. It's going to be millions of dollars. I think we might be better off spending those millions of dollars in upgrading and getting more green space in some of our other parks around town. We just had this dust up about Barnum Hill a few years ago and the expansion of the zoo. If you go over there right now, it's not ADA accessible. There's just, you know, they got roots sticking out from the ground and the whole argument at the time was let's make this a gathering place for people. Well, you can't gather there now because it's next to a smelly pond and if you're disabled you can't get up there anyway. So I think there are other ways that we could spend that money other than just writing a check to the Corps and to Pima County Flood Control and maybe come out with a better solution. Next Tuesday, this will be one of our agenda items, and we'll see where the rest of the council wants to go on it.
Was there a council meeting this week?
No.
We're
skipping a week.
Okay.
This was inauguration week.
That's right. Any comments on the mayor's state of the state? The swearing-in, of course, was this week. Any bottom-line comments from you, Steve Kasachek?
My concern is that we've, for the last few years, have been made flush financially with a lot of federal dollars. And, you know, we need to keep our eye on the pennies right now so we don't wind up in the same situation the U of A finds itself. The federal dollars are running out and we're going to have to stand up on our own 2 feet and finance the required things, you know, police, fire, roads, parks, you know, that don't come for nothing. So that my concern is the fiscal responsibility going forward immediately.
The pay hike recount, that's, the optics weren't good by not doing that recount. Is that kind of the way you saw it, too?
Well, yeah, but what we've done is we've reached out to the Arizona Secretary of State, Fontes, and also the Attorney General, Chris Mays, and asked for their read on whether or not we're required to do it by state statute. We're waiting for a response from Attorney General Mays. The city can't just elect to do a recount. The conditions that govern whether or not a recount is conducted are governed by state statute. And so we can't just say, well, we feel like doing it this time, because next time, if it's close, we may, the, whoever the council is at the time may decide not to do it. So we're really trying to follow the letter of the law, and we'll get our determination from Chris Mays. And if she says do a recount, heck yeah, we'll do a recount. If she says no, then fine, we'll just move on.
All right, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I know that you're a big fan. The Danish Kringle, doesn't that sound like Christmas? Of course, that's their signature pastry.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's that time of year, so you better get out and jog a little bit today after the show, because you need to make room for that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery. They are home of not only the Danish Kringle, but they're also home of great breakfasts and lunches. I love their lunch up there at Mona's, and they're open right now for breakfast or lunch. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. They're in the holiday mood up there at Mona's. They'll be taking any of your orders for Christmas. Not only the Kringles, but the pies, the dinner rolls, whatever. If it's anything to do with the bakery and the holidays, go by Mona's. They've got you covered. Be right back with Steve Kasachek. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez since 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez since 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website, ChavezSince67.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Promoting Friday's show, the Friday Focus interview will be with Jan Lesher, the Pima County Administrator, tomorrow. And Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News will be my co-media guest host for that Friday program. But right now, it's Steve Kasachek, Ward 6 Democrat in the city of Tucson, the city council. Councilman, I do live in the county, and of course I have Tucson Water. Will I be getting some kind of make do on this whole dust up about differential water rates?
Well, if I were the king of the universe, my answer would be yes. There you'd be getting something, but I'm not the king of the universe. I can give you a kind of a Reader's Digest version of where we are with that.
Please.
The court, Pima County sued. Let me back up one step. The city of Tucson implemented differential water rates. Then we did a cost of service analysis that we say justified the rates. Pima County sued to have us stop the rates, but they sued on their own behalf. They sued as Pima County, not a class action for all ratepayers outside of the city. We, in response to that, exempted Pima County for any government buildings they had outside of the city, and the suit moved on. The court recently determined a couple of things. Number one is that our rates were implemented, the process by which we implemented the rates was flawed. They are saying that we should have done the cost of service study first, and then based on that, implemented differential rates if they were justified. We are right now, Pima County is appealing that decision, or they have the right to appeal it. My strong preference would be that instead of continuing to fight this out in court, we sit down with the county and do a few things. One would be recognize that Pima County never filed a class action suit to protect people like you who are outside of the city limits. And so when the court made their determination, people like you had the right to stand up, to step up and file suit on your own behalf. Nobody wants 30,000 lawsuits going on by individuals outside the city. So we ought to be sitting down with the county and saying, let's draw a line in the sand. I would say just logically, it would be when the court made their decision, and anybody who is making a payment above the regular rate from that date on gets made whole for that. Secondly, though, and more importantly, is let's sit down with the county and both conduct a cost of service analysis and let the chips fall where they may. If the cost of service analysis indicates that there's an extra cost for serving people outside the city limits, or people living within the city limits who may live in outlying areas that are still within the city, then we use that cost of service to charge a differential rate. If the cost of service study says there's no difference because the extent of the infrastructure, you're not pumping uphill because you've already got stations up there, or whatever it winds up saying, then we don't charge the rates. But let's sit down with the county and work this out, work out a solution like this. The reality is that differential water rates are not illegal. They're not illegal per se. The city of Phoenix has differential water rates. They advertise them on their website. Other cities in the state have differential rates. So the court did not say your differential rate is illegal. What it said was the process that you used to calculate it was flawed. So go back and do it again. And that's what I hope we do with the county.
So this is a golden opportunity for both the city and county to really take a look at this issue without the help of the courts. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
100%. 100%. And there's no reason we ought to be going to court with the county, and especially over something that's not illegal. It's just, again, you mentioned optics when it came to the pay raise. The optics of the city and the county fighting in court is just bad for everybody. And we're doing so many good things together right now with the county that just to have this as sort of a, marring the whole, the whole relationship is just not where we need to be.
You know, the whole thing about street racing kind of goes back to some of those movies in the 1950s. I was just a little kid, but I remember, the hot rod racing. Well, it's been taken to a new level in the city of Tucson, and I might add, a very dangerous level, Steve Kasachek.
Yeah, and so the discussions we've been having seem to have been focused on the far east side of the city, Houghton Road and some big wide open areas with less density out there than in Midtown. The reality, though, is that we're seeing it on the south side. We're seeing it in downtown area. People seem to like to spin their wheels and make a lot of noise in the downtown area where it can echo off of buildings and people's homes. So, yeah, it's very dangerous. We just had a recent study session during which the police proposed several technology-related solutions to this. The price tag for the full, you know, the full boat is about $1 million, $900,000+. What they do have, though, in their toolkit is the ability to delay, to encrypt their radios, the radios they already have, to delay the transmission. What's happening is that the people who are organizing these street racing, the racing clubs, anybody can get a police transponder and listen in on police calls. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mom used to do it from home just to, you know, just for fun, just to make sure the neighborhood was safe. So you can do that already. And so what's happening is when the police start indicating that they're, you know, they're aware of a situation going on and they're en route, they disappear. Uh-huh. They shut it down.
Yeah.
And so they're a step ahead of us. We have the ability right now to encrypt our radios, we, Tucson Police, to encrypt our radios with, say, a one-hour delay, so that we're not denying the public the ability to monitor what's going on, so there's no issue of lack of transparency. It's simply saying, for the good of the safety of the public, we're going to delay this transmission so that the perpetrators aren't aware that we're en route. We've had guns pulled on cops when they showed up. People have been significantly injured by these things. Just 2 days ago, I had a woman on South 6th Avenue in the Armory Park area email me video that she was taking from her living room of guys doing donuts in the middle of 6th Avenue. And there are probably 40 or 50 people standing around just being missed by the car who's spinning around in the intersection. So, you know, back in the day, you know, we used to cruise Speedway and, you know, at stoplights, you'd see who get quicker off the line or whatever. It's a whole different thing now. You know, we got dozens and dozens of people showing up for these events, and their social media, they're advertising them on social media, and they're extremely dangerous, not just to the participants and not just to the spectators, but most importantly, in my mind, to the rest of the driving public.
I understand you met with Rewire America. How did that meeting go?
We had a good conversation about microgrids, the opportunity for the city to set up electrical supply off from the TEP main grid. Rewire is interested in making rebates available to people. In my current newsletter, I have some links available that people can get involved with Rewire. And depending on the kind of refrigerator, washer, dryer, whatever it winds up being, they can get rebates through different federal opportunities. But my conversation with Rewire was more focused on how do we expand the Tucson microgrid, or even begin the Tucson microgrid conversation, so that we can relieve some of the load, some of the capacity that right now TPE is suffering under the extreme heat that we've had, and power some of our cooling stations, you know, that went down last summer during the monsoon.
We're ready to wrap up the calendar year, and I know the city, of course, operates on a fiscal year, but it's always a good time here to talk about what kind of year was it for the city of Tucson, Steve Kasachek?
I think we're doing fine. You know, we've got the same problems that any other major city has. We've got homeless issues. We've got to continue to hire more police officers. Every major city in the country is facing those. But we're also doing some really good things. And, you know, we've got, thanks to the voters, we're doing a lot of road repair that wasn't being done a couple of years ago. We've got some, again, thanks to the voters, we've got some really good upgrades to many of our parks happening around town right now. And I think that the momentum is positive. I would love to see us resolve some of the differences we've got with the county right now and get that relationship healed up. Because the entire region suffers when the two major jurisdictions are at odds with one another. So I think, if anything, in my New Year's resolution list, I think a resolution with the county is going to be top drawer.
I'll bring that up tomorrow when Jan Lesher is my guest here in studio.
Jan's a great person. Love Jan, and she's a real asset to the entire region.
Any word about how Holiday or this Lukeville thing? And I know that, of course, that's a huge issue. We have a lot of Mexican shoppers this time of year. That Lukeville crossing is really, the longer that stays closed, that's not good news, Steve Kosacek.
You know, you and I have been talking about this whole border issue literally for years. And our federal delegation, both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, are failing local jurisdictions. All, you know, we're a border community. I mean, we're not immediately on the border, but we're a border community. We're getting over 1,000 people a day at Casalitas. New people.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable. And so the federal government really needs to get their act together and address the immigration issue.
All right. Steve Kosacek, hope you and yours have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Enjoy your birthday. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break right here. And we've got Dr. Levy. Dr. David Levy will be our Liveline guest right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, all those poinsettias. I've got a couple of them at my home, trying to kind of get me into the holiday spirit. They are beautiful. They kind of watering them. I think Jan and Jack, the owners, told me to water at least every other day. Well, no, not at least. Within a couple of days. You've got to keep them moist. But they're beautiful, and they've got them in so many different colors over at Green Things, and Green Things conveniently located 3384 East River Road. Also, if you've got some time off this holiday season, road trip, how about a trip over to Silver City, about a three-hour drive? All that beautiful Victorian architecture in downtown Silver City, they've got all the lights up. Be a good little holiday getaway over to Silver City. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Take your down vest or jacket. You'll need it, but that's okay. It's good weather to get out and about and hike in 7,000 foot elevation, 5 to 7,000 feet in that area. Well, it makes for incredible stargazing. And speaking of stargazing, Dr. David Levy is on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. He is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, 23 comets. Dr. David Levy, how are you?
Oh, hi, Bill. I want to wish you and all of your listeners a very, very happy holiday.
Thank you.
Those of you who celebrate Christmas, I wish to I wish that you have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful New Year. And for those who will celebrate Hanukkah, and I'll be doing a quotation regarding that a little later, but I wish you the very happy Hanukkah, which starts today. And for everyone else, a wonderful, wonderful end of the year and a happy, happy New Year coming up.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you received my Hanukkah gift.
Yeah, not yet. I don't get the I don't get to the mailbox every day, but I'll be going in the next couple of days.
All right. Well, so we've got a huge meteor shower coming up. This is one of the highlights of the year for meteor shower fans.
Yes, it is. It's not something when I used to live in Montreal that I would look forward to because it would be so cold. But here in Arizona, when it's so cold, it's like it draw temperature plummets into the upper 70s, perhaps. And then I might even have to turn the heat on in the house. I have to think about that.
Yeah.
But it is the biggest shower of the year. It's on the 13th next week, and I'm going to be watching it.
That's an important kind of week for you. December 17th, one day after my birthday, goes back to, I mean, almost 60 years of comet looking or sky gazing, comet searching.
Yeah, we are. I made a lot of bad decisions in my life, Bill.
Really?
But I made two good ones, two damn good ones.
Okay.
One of them was, of course, the most important one was that I married Wendy.
Yep.
And the second most important one was on December the 17th, 1965, I began searching for comets. And I'm still doing that. I was slow as a kid. I was pretty stupid and not really into sports and not really doing a lot of things. But one of the things that I did do that was right was that I decided to start searching for comets, and I'm still doing it every night. And the other thing regarding that other decision is that also on December the 17th, we will be having the unveiling of Wendy's tombstone at the cemetery.
Oh, that's going to be a very, very emotional and moving occasion. So I guess...
Yeah.
I guess as a kid, nowadays they call that kind of being a nerd.
I was a terrible nerd, yeah. I still am.
All right, time for the David Levy, Dr. David Levy, quote of the month. What do you have for us, David?
Okay, today I have two brief quotes. One of them is from a biography I wrote about my friend Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered Pluto in 1930. And one of the things that was his worst emotional moment was when he was fired from Lowell Observatory. He never quite got over that. He was fired because they said they ran out of funds. And this is what I wrote in my biography about that. The telescope Tombaugh was finally about to leave stayed at Lowell Observatory, its long career not nearly over. Years later, director Arthur Hoag claimed that with its many projects, the 13-inch had become one of the world's most productive telescopes. If it had consciousness, it might have wondered what would happen to it without the man it had shared a life with, a man who had never quite given up searching one more pair of plates for hidden treasure, a man who called himself a traveler, going over the next hill with an eternal hope.
Oh, very nice.
And the other one is, for in honor of all of us celebrating Hanukkah tonight, it is Psalm 19, written by David as a shepherd, and somewhat revised by my friend Peter Collins. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night revealeth knowledge, so long as the sky is clear.
That's appropriate, isn't it? Very good. Yeah, happy Hanukkah to you, David, and let's hope we have a real good meteor shower next week, okay?
Be right, and I'll speak with you early in 2024.
I look forward to it. Thank you, David. All the best to you.
You too.
All right. Bye. We'll take a break right here. The consular is in the house. Attorney Don Luce. Boy, we've got some... there's a really fun item in there, too, in Don's stack of stuff today. Is Arizona about to embark on a magical mushroom tour? Don's next.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Attorney Don Luce joining us now of the Luce Law Group. They have offices right here in Tucson and up in Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, appears on our program usually the first Thursday of the month. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101. This is a fun book if you're thinking about the law. This is not written for fellow attorneys, Don Luce. This is a fun book. I mean,
thanks, Bill.
It's a handbook for non-lawyers. Says that right in the title. And of course, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, great to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
All right. As I teased before the break, we've got this mushroom thing going on now here in Arizona. What in the world?
Well, let's talk about fungi.
Fungi is a fungi among us.
But more significantly, the psychedelic compound found in 200 species of fungi known as psilocybin. So Arizona has allocated $5 million to study this psychedelic compound. And the Arizona Department of Health Services has published notice that they will start accepting applications to conduct clinical trials on the efficacy of this psychedelic compound. And the process is in place to determine if this compound found in mushrooms, also known as magic mushrooms, has any medical benefit for various diseases, illnesses, and conditions.
Why not just use the old Timothy Leary notebooks from back in the 60s? Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, you make a really good point. In the early 60s, Timothy Leary and his colleagues at Harvard University investigated the role and effects of psilocybin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And determined... They used 175 volunteers, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they determined that there were beneficial effects from this psychedelic compound.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also some pretty undesirable effects like hallucinations and tiredness and fatigue. So the state of Arizona is going to take a fresh look at this. And at some point in time, not this month, but soon, they're going to give grants to various researchers to determine if this psychedelic compound has any beneficial medical effect. And so some of the conditions and diseases that they're looking at are PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. They're also looking at eating disorders, substance abuse issues, depression, and symptoms associated with long COVID, which is really interesting because that's real to a lot of people now.
Oh, yeah.
The article that I looked at regarding this program cited the beneficial effect that magic mushrooms had with regard to a former Pinal County Sheriff's deputy. According to this article, this former sheriff's deputy was suffering PTSD and the effects from a traumatic brain injury, which left him suicidal. And he turned to the mushrooms out of sheer desperation. And according to him, it had the psychedelic compound had a profound effect, and the medicine restored his relationships with his family and his wife and his children. So,
wow.
You know, that's a
pretty strong testimonial, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Exactly. Now, the way this is being approached is through an advisory council that was created this year in the legislative session. So along with the state health director, the panel will include a physician who has a federal license to study psychedelics, a military veteran, a law enforcement officer, and a professor or researcher from one of the state's three public universities who specializes in clinical research or psychedelic studies.
Sounds reasonable.
So the names of the members will be announced. They have not been made public yet. But the panel's recommendations are due by February 1st, so stay tuned.
We will keep an eye on that. Democrat Attorney General Chris Mays, who will be our Friday Focus interview 1 week from tomorrow, she'll be with us on the show, filed a pretty important lawsuit, Don Luce, concerning drug prices.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about what's at stake here.
Well, let's start with the lawsuit itself. So it was filed on November 27th in Maricopa County, Maricopa County Superior Court. The lawsuit names several large pharmaceutical companies and several large benefits managers. So they're called PBMs, they're pharmaceutical benefits managers. And what the lawsuit contends, in broad strokes, is that these defendants conspired and colluded to artificially set the price of insulin medicine.
Which, and, of course, everybody that we know how important that is to diabetics. Go ahead.
Well, and to that very point, according to this statistic, there are more than 630,000 Arizonans who suffer from diabetes.
Really? So that's that many?
More than a half a million people in our state alone suffer from diabetes.
Wow.
So according to the information obtained from the lawsuit, and again, these are allegations at this point because the complaint was just recently filed and none of these have been proven yet, but according to the lawsuit, over the past 20 years, the cost of insulin that is needed by more than a half a million Arizonans to control diabetes has increased more than 1,000%.
Wow.
More than 1,000%. By contrast, the cost of consumer goods and services generally over that same period has risen less than 200%.
Wow.
So this would be five times more than the general cost of living over that same 20-year period. Now, the conspiracy that is alleged in this lawsuit filed by the Arizona Attorney General is that the manufacturers and the benefits managers are colluding to artificially set the price, which right now, according to this litigation, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 to 700 per vial, right? Which in 1990s, it was $20 per vial.
According it's to how much per vial now? Mm. Wow.
According to this lawsuit, $300 to $700.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, what the Attorney General is claiming is that not only is the price being artificially set by the pharmaceuticals to essentially rip off the consumers, but kickbacks are being given, and again, these are just allegations, to the PBMs, the pharmaceutical benefits managers. And so through this very lucrative scheme, according to the lawsuit, a small handful of companies and PBMs are enriching themselves at the expense of the consumers. Now, something very significant has happened very recently, and that is Congress adopted in the Inflation Reduction Act a cap on the monthly cost of insulin for seniors on Medicare, and that cap is no more than $35 a month, but it's limited to Medicare. So we're seeing the price of insulin come down.
Yes.
But the Attorney General claims that over the past several years, the big pharmaceutical companies and the big PBMs have conspired and colluded to keep those prices artificially high. And the Attorney General is claiming that that violates the Arizona Consumer Protection Act.
Which goes back to the late 60s.
It does.
In fact, 1967 it was signed into law. The governor was Jack Williams.
I'm surprised you remember that.
I do remember. 1967.
So let me share this with your listeners, because consumer fraud takes many shapes and forms. It's not just you buy insulin and you pay more than you should and you're getting ripped off by the pharmaceutical company or the pharmaceutical benefits manager. And maybe you buy a car and the car is represented to be in perfect working condition, but yet the seller knows that as soon as you leave the driveway, it's going to break down. That would be fraud by omission. Or you're told something about a particular product or service that is untrue, fraudulent. That is, those instances are examples of where the Arizona Consumer Protection Act could come into play and give average citizens like you and I a legal remedy. It's not just limited to the Arizona Attorney General's office, which is bringing this lawsuit against the pharmaceutical companies. Individual citizens like us can use the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act to bring lawsuits when misrepresentations or omissions exist in connection with everyday transactions.
So this is a pretty good vehicle for the consumer.
Exactly. And as you pointed out, it's been around since the late 60s. So this is not something that's brand new. But I wanted to mention that consumer fraud is broadly defined. It's defined as any deception, deceptive act or practice, false pretense, false promise, or misrepresentation made by a seller or advertiser, seller or advertiser of merchandise. Concealment, suppression, or failure to disclose a material fact is also consumer fraud if it's done with the intent that others rely on the omission, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's merchandise? Well, it's broad, just like the definition of fraud. Merchandise means objects, wares, goods, commodities, intangibles, real estate, or services. So if you're engaging someone to perform services for you, and the person that you're engaging has misrepresented to you a material fact regarding the engagement, you potentially have a claim under the Consumer Fraud Act against the person with whom you contracted. Any claim under the Consumer Fraud Act, because it's a statutory remedy, has to be brought within 1 year from when the claim arises. So it's a very short statute of limitations, relatively speaking, but it's a very potent weapon for individual consumers to seek redress when they feel like they've been scammed or ripped off or lied to.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just used in the case of like you, the example about automobiles.
Exactly.
It can be used for other services. Yep.
Exactly. So it's commonly used in situations where individuals or businesses selling products have false advertising, or the product is represented to be something and it isn't, or something very important about the product is intentionally not told to the purchaser, and as a result of that, the purchaser is defrauded.
Okay, Don, we're going to have to wrap it up and leave it right there. Don Luce with Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don, I hope you and your lovely family have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
All right. On behalf of attorney Don Luce and Tom, always doing such a great job on the other side of the glass there, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well, and be back with you in about, 23 hours from now with Jan Lusher, Pima County Administrator.